If a hamburger could talk, it might be able to sing. And if a hamburger could sing, the song might well be the Star Spangled Banner. There are very few foods that can be considered more American. Tomorrow, July 4th, more than 74 million Americans will fire up the grill and they will barbecue more than 200 million. Boy, that's a lot of hamburger. What's the best way to cook a burger? On the grill? On a skillet? Best kind of ground beef to use? Do you go with good old-fashioned mustard and ketchup or something more exotic? Wasabi, mayonnaise, pickled beets, maybe even a fried egg. And if you don't want to be bothered with doing it yourself, where are the best hamburger joints in Las Vegas? Well, we are going to explore the many incarnations of the great American hamburger in this conversation. Joining us to do so, Chris Palmieri, owner of Naked City Pizza Shop. Chris, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Jim Begley joins us as well. He writes for Las Vegas Weekly. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you.
And also with us is Christina Wilson. She is the executive chef of Gordon Ramsay Burger and a former Hell's Kitchen winner. Christina, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's just nitty-gritty to begin with. Where are the best hamburger joints in Las Vegas? And how? I'll start with you, Jim, but where's the best place to get a burger here and why?
Well, it really, really depends on exactly what kind of burger you're looking for. I tend to prefer kind of hole-in-the-wall joints, so a couple of my favorites. You've got Dispensary Lounge and Badger Cafe, both on Trop within practically walking distance of one another. Dispensary has a water wheel, working water wheel, so, I mean, you've got that to go with it. And then Badger Cafe is just a Wisconsin joint attached to a Rum Runner, and they're both doing just made, you know, from scratch hand patties, and it's just good stuff. Also like the patty downtown at the Good Witch, that's a good burger. Obviously, it's a little bit more of a patty melt, but that's also a fine burger to track down. And then there's one really surprising spot. It's the View Wine Bar and Cafe over at Tivoli Village, and they have a burger that is surprisingly good. It's a little difficult to find, but well worth the hunt.
Chris Palmieri, where do you like to go when you want a burger?
Being that I'm like a local business owner and our restaurants are local, I like to support the local guys and, like Jim said, find more small places and things like that. So my favorite, because he started his business basically the same time as us, is Fuku Burger Chuck. They've always probably been my favorite. Colin and his guys do a great job, and everything they do is made from scratch, and they have a huge following. They're at all the big events, and they're easy to find with my schedule of getting out, you know, after a 14-hour day at like 11:30 at night. So probably my best and easiest go-to will be them. And then I've always liked the classic, like the original celebrity chef to start the burger craze was Hubert Keller at Mandalay with Burger Bar, and his stuff has just always been phenomenal, so it's always been a pretty easy go-to for me, too.
Christina Wilson, I'm going to say, aside from Gordon Ramsay Burger.
I'd be slightly biased to if you're going
out after work, you know, whom would you let serve you a burger?
Fuku Burger I really enjoy, too, and again, being a chef, you have these wildly consistently inconsistent hours, so they're, you know, open when we get off. Also, Burger Bar, I have to agree with that as well. And I think the burger craze is something that's caught on in the last probably 5-8 years, and you see a lot of celebrity chefs really jumping on that train. I'm fairly new to Vegas, so that's news to me that Hubert was one of the first ones out here. I'm also a big fan of regional kind of fast foodie burgers. You guys have In-N-Out out here. Actually, you have Five Guys now as well, which was kind of an East Coast thing where I'm from. We had those about 10 years ago, which were really good, just locally sourced meat and very simple. Recently in Portland, and got to eat at a Burgerville up there, which was also really good. But I like those kind of you can't get it everywhere burger, but this is, you know, kind of indigenous to this region.
Okay, from the East Coast.
Yes.
Back East. Let me just open it up and just say, where's your best hamburger ever?
Ever? Yeah. Ever. I'm going to actually say...
Besides Gordon Ramsay.
Yes, of course. Of course, yes. Speaking without bias. I really like... There's a little gastropub in Philadelphia on 15th Street. It's called the Good Dog Bar. I think they have probably the best burger I've ever eaten.
All right. Well, yeah, and you're, as someone, you're experienced enough, you could probably bust the magic trick a little bit. What was it that made it such a great burger?
Their chef there, Jessica O'Donnell, is amazing and has a really high standard. The meat that they use, they do an 85-15 for fat to lean. So it's and we on the East Coast enjoy getting that winter fat cap that we get. We're lucky that way. So and she actually, I typically don't like burgers that are stuffed. I think it just lends to inconsistency in cooking, but Jessica found a technique and is able to nail it and really pass it down to her staff. And that burger is stuffed with Maytag blue cheese and then topped with caramelized onions. And they just had this really delicious brioche roll out of South Philly. We have a lot of really great old Italian bakeries back home. So she just put together a lot of really good components. And the bread is so important, I think, to a burger, meat to bread ratio. And I think she really just nails it. So I would say, for me, Good Dog Bar in Philadelphia.
Mm. Now, I do want to touch on stuffed burgers in just a little while, too. But you said 85-15.
Yeah.
I'd always heard that, like 80-20, mm-hmm. you know, a little higher fat in the meat was somewhat better, especially if you're going to be grilling.
I think she's...
What's the best ratio?
We go, 81-19 is what we found works over the heat that we use at Burger. We're over a wood-burning stove using three different kinds of wood. And mm-hmm. so I think you sometimes have to adapt to the equipment that is available to you.
81-19.
You know what it's like being in kitchens that you have to use charcoal, you have to use gas. You're sometimes just kind of limited that way.
Wow, 81-19. I mean, that's extremely precise.
It is. Most things that Gordon does, uh-huh. very precise.
You know, 82-18, not going to cut it. Got to be 81.
You'll get that slap on your hand real quick.
Chris Palmieri, what for you works? I mean, is it a little higher fat to get
the
flavor?
Yeah, we go with a little bit higher fat. Mm-hmm. We grind. We only have one burger on the menu, and I kind of fought putting a burger on the menu forever. But it actually was born from a barbecue at my house out of pure laziness, pretty much. I just wanted to make everything together really quickly and didn't want to transport a lot of stuff from my condo to the grill, so I did stuff a burger.
And now, I realize you could kind of resist putting a burger in the menu since it's Naked City Pizza Shop, but you resisted for a while.
Yeah, our name kind of fools a lot of people because you come in and you can get pasta and everything in between. I mean, we're running a Flatiron steak special today, so name's kind of confusing.
It's not just pizza.
No, but I always
but
just
you kinda, resisted.
I kind of fought it just because everybody was doing it, and it was kind of the burger craze when every chef, like big chef on the strip, was opening one. So I didn't want to fall into it, but people love burgers, so you got to make what people like. And so just made the best one we could and threw it on the menu, and it's been pretty successful so far.
So, again, other than Naked City Pizza Shop, where's the best burger you've had?
Well, I'm also from the East Coast. I'm from Buffalo, New mm-hmm. York. So we have a lot of good junk food and bars. So I would say probably my two best was there's a place called Ted's and a place called Louie's. Both like Ted's is more of a daytime thing where you go and you get a really good grilled hot dog or a hamburger. And it was always good with the family, like after events and stuff, you go there. So that made a great experience. Plus it was cooked right there in front of you. It was great burger. And Louie's was always a place you went with your friends after you went to the bar and mm-hmm. the guy, you know, standing there cooking 40 burgers at once and everything like that. And it was just, it was more the experience and the burger that made it good.
Now, Jim Begley, for the ideal burger, Christina Wilson was talking about the meat to bread ratio. I mean, there really is an aesthetic to this, isn't there?
Oh, there certainly is. When it comes down, the burger is so much more than just the actual ingredients and the preparation, right? It is the presentation. And, you know, I tend to like a burger. Some chefs like to go ahead and stack burgers so high that you can't even go ahead and get your mouth around them. Sure, that's great for presentation, but in my mind, I like something a little more subtle. I personally like a burger that lets the meat shine. So you were saying earlier, do you go classic ingredients or do you go crazy ingredients? And for instance, Chris had mentioned Fuku. Well, Fuku does a nice real Asian twist on burgers. And I do like that, but it's a subtle Asian twist. Whereas some people just go way over the top. And, you know, you can only have foie gras on a burger so many times before you just need to go ahead and take a pass. So
we are talking about the Great American Feast hamburgers. Our guests Chris Palmieri, he is the owner of Naked City Pizza Shop. Christina Wilson, executive chef of Gordon Ramsay Burger, and Jim Begley, who writes for the Las Vegas Weekly. And we're talking about what makes a really good burger. And if you've got some stories, best hamburgers you've ever had, maybe the worst ones you've ever had, or interesting items you like to put on your burgers, share your plans with us. Call us, 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also reach us online, knprnews.org. All right. Jim, I'll start with you here, Jim. What advice do you have for people grilling outside this weekend?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a warm one, so first I suggest hydrate. But what you want to do is you don't want to overcook. That's the absolute worst thing you can do to a burger. Now, I'm sitting next to two chefs, so I'm not going to weigh in too much on the techniques used in preparing a great burger, but the one that is the worst sin you can go ahead and make. And then in terms of picking ingredients, just get as good a ground beef as you can get and make sure you get a nice cheese. I prefer like an extra sharp cheddar on mine, and simple as that.
Chris Palmieri, what makes a good burger on the grill, and what are the don't do this things you advise people?
I think like Jim just said, that simplicity. Yeah. Don't overcomplicate it. You want to have a great time with your friends for the holiday. And like Jim said, go out there, get the best beef you can get. Get some grass-fed beef. It's available in all the stores now.
You know what's your recipe for a great burger? I mean, you got any quick tips? Try this if you haven't?
Just keep it simple.
Season
it well. You know, don't be afraid to use salt and pepper. That's the biggest misconception. Mm-hmm. Use salt and pepper. Use a good cheese. Use a good bun. Have some fun. Get your grill as hot as possible. And cook it as quickly as possible and make sure it's cooked. But, you know, just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. Christina Wilson, I lived in Iowa for a chunk of my life, so I'm pretty familiar with Maytag blue cheese. But, so I know about that secret. Any other secrets to grilling a good burger?
Like Chris just said, I think people get so anxious and they're all set up and they have their patties formed and they have their condiments ready and they get on the grill too quickly. So you have to, whether it's gas or charcoal, you really have to give yourself a good 15, probably 25 minutes to get the grill as hot as it should be so your burgers don't stick. Oftentimes, I'll put a little vegetable oil on a paper towel even after I scrape my grill and it's clean, just to, depending on, you know, most people don't just grill burgers for 4th of July, so you'll have some chicken, hot dogs, other things working too, and the fat content of your protein is going to affect if it sticks or if it doesn't. So I like to just give it a once over with a little vegetable oil just to kind of help me out with that. Seasoning, I agree. With burgers especially, keep it simple with the patty. You can have your fun with the condiments and how you build it, but as far as actual meat, just keep it simple. Also, every grill is going to have a hot spot. You'll see that. You'll see your grates get almost white in some areas, and they'll stay, you know, black and seasoned in others. So that white spot's your hot spot, and you want to build your proteins accordingly.
So if you've got guests over, you get the grill fired up, you don't have Gordon Ramsay looking over your shoulder ready
He's
to holler
looking.
At you. Okay, so in your mind's eye, you can imagine him not looking. What's the perfect burger for you? I mean, what's the recipe? What are you going to be putting on that grill?
Perfect burger? I agree with Jim, too. I like a nice sharp cheddar. I'll go for, in my gluttonous periods, I'll definitely go for the Maytag. It's just that fat content, that creaminess is just amazing and gluttonous to some degree. But I like just lettuce, pickle, mayonnaise, ketchup, and a little cheese on my burger. I usually at home keep it simple. If I go out and somebody else is cooking it for me, I'll go for the more gourmet burger once in a while, but I think burgers are one of those things you can just keep simple and be happy with it.
Is it blasphemy for any of you to say grind up some lamb, you know, lamb patties and burgers or any other kind of meat? Is there any other kind, Chris Palmieri, any other kind of meat that's worked really well you've tried out?
I mean, we've made burgers, and I'm doing the air quotes with buffalo meat or lamb or, you know, pork, but that tends to, in my mind, be more of a sandwich than a burger. A burger's a burger.
And it, well, yeah, but except when you got air quotes around it. It's a burger, but it's not really a burger.
It's like a burger's cousin.
Yeah, you know. Burger's cousin. Is it Jim Begley's like a burger with an asterisk at the end?
Yeah. I'm all about the air quotes. I think that those are great sandwiches, right? But the farther you get away from the cow, the more you stray away from being a true burger. And let's not even talk about veggies or fish on a bun. Those are not burgers. Grand sandwiches in and of themselves, but not burgers.
You're going to wound the sensibilities of some of our listeners.
You know? I'm certain.
Christina Wilson, are there any other interesting meats that you think make perfectly acceptable burgers, or is it air quotes?
I think it is air quotes with burgers. I think it's when you think of America and you think of how we cook our burgers, it's always beef. Where I grew up, hunting is a very big thing. So I've had a lot of venison burgers in my life, and that was just more using the entire animal as opposed to, oh, this is going to be, you know, the burger that changes the world. But I like gamey things, and that worked for me. But as far as burgers go, I immediately think beef, and I think most people probably should.
Mm-hmm. Jim Bagley?
Just wanted to say, relative to different animals, mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to actually eat a camel burger in the Middle East. And let me tell you that, yes, not a burger, but still pretty tasty.
pretty tasty. How would you describe, Jim Bagley, Las Vegas's rep as a burger destination compared to Chicago or New York or Boston or Philly?
I think we've got a fair amount of work to do to become a burger destination. We've got some great burgers in our own right, but to be honest, we don't have any one of those quintessential destinations that come up in the discussion about the country's best burgers.
And even with your Bear Keller here and Chris and Christina and the others, we still got a little.
Deep
in the bench.
There are certain, yes, and I think that's really the issue with the Vegas food scene in general, is that we have highlights and we have some stars in beyond burgers, any type of cuisine. But really what it comes down to is we don't have the same bench strength that a Chicago does or that a New York does or, you know, any of the larger dining destinations. And don't get me wrong, I am the biggest advocate for the Vegas dining scene. But I just don't think we have that same strength. We also, because we're, you know, relative to the other older cities, we don't have the kind of history. We really haven't developed our own quintessential foods, right? And so mm-hmm. Minneapolis has the Juicy Lucy, and, you know, you talk about Chicago hot dogs, and you talk about New York-style pizza. And I mean, but we really don't have that one single food. And so it's – you can definitely find a good burger.
Is the gourmet burger our calling card? I mean, is Chicago-style hot dogs, as you say, New Chicago and New York pizza? I mean, is Vegas the town with the gourmet burger?
Well, we were kind of the birthplace of it, so you could make that argument. And there are some really, really good gourmet burgers. Chris had made mention earlier of the fact that so many places have opened up, and it seems like every celebrity chef now is going the burger route. And I think that's an interesting reflection on where the wants of the diners are at this point. You know, we went through, obviously, a very bad turn in the economy, and burgers are a comfort food. And even with better ingredients, you can still get a decent high-end burger for the $15, $20 range, which, you know, in comparison to an In-N-Out is obviously pretty expensive. But relative to a steak dinner, not so much.
Hmm. Christina Wilson, do you think that's one of the niches Las Vegas occupies? Is a place where, yes, you can get incredibly good burgers. On the other hand, they're gourmet and it'll cost a little bit more?
Yeah, I think the spectrum that we have out here in the food scene it's amazing to have so much culinary talent on one street. It you don't find it anywhere else in the world, and we're lucky in that way. And like the gentlemen have mentioned, the burger push kind of, you can argue, I think, that it got a lot of its start here. But I think that's one thing that maybe Vegas will end up being known for. As we mentioned, I'll shout out Philly and the Philly cheesesteak and New York style pizza. And I think every region has their thing. And maybe that's what's unique about Las Vegas, is that it's fairly transient. Like, nobody is really indigenous to Las Vegas. Is chefs have come in, have made it this way, and the local people have supported that and have a strong scene in their own right. But maybe the burger is the cape that we kind of put on and make Vegas.
Yeah. Chris Palmieri, toppings. I mean, that's part of a good gourmet burger, too. You got to have just the right toppings and such. Toss one out there that is kind of a surprise. Most people might not think of that you've you know, you have used that's worked out really well?
I could say one that most chefs would use, but maybe most home cooks or home chefs wouldn't use, would be an egg.
An egg
has been used many times.
What do you do with it? What do you do with it to make it
For our burger at the restaurant, we simply offer it as a sunny side up egg, just basically on top. And what we like to tell the guests to do is basically smash the egg and it becomes like a sauce, you know, over the entire burger. So
besides make it messy?
It's going to become a little messy, but you're combining egg and bacon and cheese and beautiful burger meat. So really, you can't lose in my book with that. So,
Jim Bagley, can you think of a topping that just makes the burger unusual but really terrific?
Absolutely. Good chunky peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's something, I mean, you know, and it's got to be, I'm not a Skippy guy. I'm talking the nice natural. And, you know, it's just that it's an offset in the texture. It gives you a little bit of saltiness. And it's a good addition when you can find it on a burger.
What? How did you discover that, Jim?
I'm fairly certain I came across it in some restaurant somewhere. I'm trying to remember. Probably the last time I had one was at Pub 1842. But it's something. It's not a very common burger topping. But when you find it, I'm kind of a sucker for peanut butter anyway. And so, you know, throw down a good burger and you got me. That's the way to my heart, Dave.
Yeah, Christina Wilson. If somebody who's going to, you know, comes into Gordon Ramsay Burger and says, all right, what should I do, put on here that's really unusual but good? What would you recommend?
Agree 100% with the fried egg. A burger called the Farm Burger. I would go bacon. I think bacon and butter make everything better.
But presumably good bacon.
Yes. On our Farm Burger, we have an over-easy egg with duck bacon and sharp English cheddar, which is actually, I think, a combination of everything we love at this panel. Mm-hmm. So that's that would be my recommendation coming into Gordon Ramsay Burger if you wanted something different that you isn't necessarily available. But the duck bacon is really nice. It's a little bit more lean. It's got really good flavor, and I think with the fattiness you'll get from the yolk of the egg and the sharpness from the cheddar, it's a good combination. But I go bacon always.
Bacon always.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris and Jim were talking about not wanting to overcook burgers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to do them? Rare, medium rare?
I like mine medium rare. I think most chefs probably do. I would think, speculating, that people at home probably lend a little more towards medium. Mm-hmm. I think some people are still scared to see the blood coming out.
Red isn't a little frightening to some people?
I don't think these people.
No, not these guys. No,
some
definitely.
People. But resting, that's one thing with burgers, but with steaks, I can't stress it enough. That's, I think, one of the steps that is overlooked with home cooks, that they don't let their meat rest. So they take it off the grill and they've probably cooked it to a beautiful mid-rare and they slice it right away. And you know you sliced it too soon when you see all the blood just coming out on the plate.
So in terms of resting?
Just take it off.
Burgers too.
I mean, I rest my burgers, yes.
When you say it, how long are you talking about?
For my burgers, maybe 3-5 minutes, but for a steak, upwards of 10, depending on the cut, how
okay,
thick
so
it is.
Okay, so literally scooping them off the grill.
Take it off the grill, and it'll
start
it will
eating
hold
them
it
right
heat.
Away.
Yeah, you just, that's, I mean, you just took it away from 400 degrees. Like, it's going to hold its heat, and it's going to let the juices continue to flow, and then you won't get that mess on your plate and have blood to be afraid of. You'll cut it open, it'll just be juicy, that beautiful.
That's a step, but a lot of us don't think of.
Yes, and I think, again, that's just the difference between, you know, professional technique and being home. But it's a very easy step. It's a very easy thing to incorporate into your grilling practices, and it will make a difference. You'll see it, I think.
Mm-hmm. So what's better between grilling and, say, a skillet? Chris Palmieri? Given your druthers, is a grill the best way to cook a burger?
Personally, I do like doing it in a skillet because it's cooking in its own juices then. Basically, it's like almost like kofiing a duck leg where you're cooking it in its own fat and juices and you're just basically reincorporating that flavor from that animal back into the animal. With the grill, you lose some of that, obviously, dripping down. That's where you get your flare-ups and things like that on a home grill. But for me, if I had the preference, it would either be charcoal or in a skillet just for that, you know, juiciness flavor and cooking it in its own rendered fat.
Yeah. Jim Bagley, I'm going to give you the last word. On the American menu, where does the burger stand? I mean, is it essential, quintessential Americana, or is it just kind of still a sort of fun dish?
Oh no, absolutely, it is Americana. I mean, the burger is one of those absolute go-to dishes for obviously anybody coming to the States and wanting to eat true American cuisine. Burgers, hot dogs, pizza. I mean, we've done as a country, considering we're a melting pot, we've done a very good job of absorbing the cuisines of the rest of the world and making them our own. And it's burger is a great dish, and obviously everybody should be making them here on the 4th of July weekend.
Heck of a way to celebrate, isn't it?
It is.
Jim Begley writes for Las Vegas Weekly. Chris Palmieri is the owner of Naked City Pizza Shop. Yeah, they got burgers on the menu too. And Christina Wilson is the executive chef of Gordon Ramsay Burger and a former winner of Hill's Kitchen. Hey, thank you all for being with us, and have a great 4th of July.
Thank you. You too.